Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, September the 5th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A chaotic first day of hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Also on the Wednesday rundown, a new report finds teachers nationwide are paid less than other professionals, and a new tool is out that grades the integrity of organic labels. First, our top story, the confirmation hearings for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, got off to a chaotic start on Capitol Hill Tuesday. Politico reports that Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee demanded that Republican Chairman Chuck Grassley adjourn the hearing, as more than a dozen protesters in the gallery called for it to end. Grassley's opening statement was interrupted by Senator Kamala Harris of California. She took issue with the timing of the release of 42,000 pages of documents related to Kavanaugh's work in former President George W. Bush's White House. Politico reports that the document dump on Monday night was orchestrated by a lawyer for Bush. According to Capitol Police, 17 protesters were arrested in the first hour of the hearing. Educators and students across the country headed back to school this month. Catherine Davis Young has been looking into a study that finds more and more teachers are struggling as the gap widens between what they're paid and what they could be making in other lines of work.
The report out today from the nonpartisan Economic Policy Institute shows on average U.S. teachers make about 24% less than professionals in other fields who have similar levels of education. The report shows the pay gap began growing in the late 1990s as wages in other labor markets were increasing, but education wasn't keeping up. Lawrence Michelle, one of the study's authors, says the trend continued during and after the Great Recession.
A lot of that had to do with states actually cutting taxes for the rich and for corporations. And those that do that, you know, basically try to make their budgets balance by cutting one of the main parts of what every state budget is, which is education.
Michelle says many states slashed education budgets during the recession, but never restored funding in the years since the recovery.
The study found the pay gap between teachers and other professionals was widest in Arizona, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Colorado, all states where teachers have staged protests this year. Meantime, New Hampshire needs more workers, but a new report says criminal records are keeping qualified job seekers out of the workforce.
The unemployment rate in the Granite State is just 2.7%, lowest in the nation. The opioid epidemic has hit New Hampshire hard, and the number of heroin and fentanyl felony cases opened by public defenders in the state has been growing every year. According to Jeannie Horusco with the ACLU of New Hampshire, a criminal record alone can eliminate someone from consideration for a job regardless of circumstances or rehabilitation, and she says that's not helping anyone.
It benefits New Hampshire families, communities, and businesses to ensure that people who are released from incarceration have the opportunity to successfully re-enter their communities.
The report, called Lost Labor, recommends reforming restrictions on occupational licensing and eliminating the criminal record checkoff box from job applications. Some critics say that would interfere with private business practices. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And support for Oregon's retirement savings program remains high. That's according to a new survey. More on the story from Eric Tanganoff.
Oregon Saves, an alternative savings program for workers whose employers don't offer retirement plans, began phasing in a year ago. Since then, support for the program has grown, DHM research shows, with more than 8 in 10 Oregonians supporting or strongly supporting the program. Vice President of the research firm John Horvick says this type of overwhelming backing is rare for public policies.
I'm a pollster. I'm asking Oregonians questions about public policy matters all the time. To get something this high, nearly universal support for a program is quite remarkable. So this program really does stand out as having broad support across the state.
DHM polled about 1,000 working-age Oregonians, following up on a similar survey from last year, and found support rose slightly from 79% to 82%. According to the state treasury, savings topped $4.5 million, and more than 30,000 people signed up in the first year of Oregon Saves.
Finally, Eric Galatas tells us shoppers in the Lone Star State can now pick between organic dairy products produced by large-scale factory operations or by family farms.
Mark Castell with the Cornucopia Institute says there are now essentially two organic product lines. One maintains original standards, including better nutrition, care for the environment, humane treatment of animals, and economic justice for farm workers. Castell argues that the other is all about profit and gaming the system. He says since both lines share the same USDA logo, their mobile-friendly organic dairy scorecard can help consumers spot the difference.
So this is a way to vote with your pocketbook for better food for your family and to save the livelihoods of these hardworking farmers.
Castell points to one case where career bureaucrats at the USDA recommended that Aurora Organic Dairy, with large-scale operations in Texas and Colorado, be decertified as organic and banned from commerce after evidence of willful violation of the law. Aurora's CEO maintains the company strictly adheres to organic guidelines and notes that the company has been certified throughout its history.
Austin-based White Mountain Foods ranked excellent, and the Texas-based Whole Foods store brand ranked very good on the scorecard. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.